Well, good morning. My name is Andy McQuitty, and I am your IBC pastor at large. I've come back today to hang with you, and it's great to see you. So Barry, a couple of months ago, asked me to preach the second sermon in this series, Questionable. And he told me what it was he wanted me to preach about. Money. Your favorite subject and mine too, right? Thanks a lot, Dr. Jones, for that. He's just getting me back because when I was setting up the preaching schedule, I always used to make him preach on money too. Actually, I'm kind of excited about being able to preach on money today because I am not the senior pastor of this church anymore, and I am not leading a campaign to raise money for buildings like we did five times in my 31 years here. You know, I get to talk about money today in the context of discipleship, not in the context of fundraising. By the way, those of you who were here in those years, what color shirt am I not wearing this morning? Right. And I always wanted, when I was preaching those campaign sermons, stewardship sermons over those years, I always wanted you to know that I wasn't preaching the money passages in the scripture just to build this building, but because it's a calling on our lives as God's children to be generous. That's what this questionable series is all about. You know, that we should live question-posing lives to the world in terms of the goodness and the holiness of what we do, how we live, how we handle our money, how we minister to people. That's what this is all about. It's about Jesus' desire for us as his people to make our financial lives gratefully generous. That's what Jesus wants for us. You know, if you look at the Gospels, you find that Jesus is talking about money all the time. Many of you may not believe that, but believe me, it's true. Jesus taught more about money in the New Testament, in the Gospels, than he did heaven and hell combined. He talked about the fact that it is more blessed to give than to receive. He praised a widow at the Temple Mount one day for throwing in her widow's mite because it was all she had and she was generous and he praised her for it. He talks in the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to look at that this morning. If you have your Bible or your device, turn to Matthew 6. You can get a head start. In Matthew 6, Jesus talks about giving and being generous and how that actually stores up treasures in heaven. Jesus was talking about giving and generosity all the time, because he wants us as his people to live such good and holy lives of grateful generosity that it shows up in our finances. That's what Matthew 6 is all about. And I want to go there with you this morning, because to live that kind of generous life that Jesus wants us to live requires us to go cross-grain against the culture of our day. You know, the culture of our day is less and less inclined towards generosity and charitable giving and charitable donations. And in that context, this message on questionable lives, generous lives, comes to set our lives in stark contrast to what's going on in the culture. A certain national political figure just released their tax returns from 1 year ago. It doesn't matter the party. Both parties have politicians and leaders that are guilty of the same thing. This person is from a millionaire family, and he married into a billionaire family, but their total charitable giving last year was $1,500, 0.001 of their income. Now, that's not the exception anymore. That's the rule. We want to be all compassionate and generous, meeting the needs of people, as long as we can do it with other people's money, right? But the culture is becoming less and less inclined to generosity. That's why Jesus called to us as his people to be generous and to make our generosity pose a question to the world. Why on earth are you people so generous? And you know, it gives me great joy to say, we are. Not everybody, but we are people of faith. A newly released report from the University of Indiana's Lilly Family School of Philanthropy reaffirms what researchers in the field have long known. Watch this. There is a staggering difference between the charitable giving practices of the religiously affiliated and those with no religious affiliation. While 62% of religious households give to charity, only 46% of non-religious households do. On average, religiously affiliated households donate $1,590 to charity annually, while households with no religious affiliation contribute $695. Some studies have estimated that faith motivates as much as 75% of all charity in the United States. So I would suggest to you that the world is looking at people of faith and asking this question, what on earth is up with you people? Why are you so generous? Well, we're going to let Jesus answer that question. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus gives us in the Sermon on the Mount basically our purpose in life as his followers. And that is in verse 33, where he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We're to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. That is the purpose of Christians in our life in this world. And here's the kicker. Generosity is a huge component of that pursuit. Generosity is a huge tool that God has given us to seek the kingdom of God. And Jesus is going to tell us three ways that generosity has to do with fulfilling our purpose in seeking the kingdom of God. The first one is that generosity shapes our kingdom values. The second one is that generosity defines our kingdom priorities. And the third one is that generosity builds our kingdom security. Those are the three main points that Jesus makes in his Sermon on the Mount that we're going to go through. And I just gave you the whole sermon. So if you want to check out, you can. But I hope you'll stick with me. Let's look at Jesus teaching us about how to make grateful generosity primary component of our financial lives. Matthew 6:19, Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, some of you, whenever I said that generosity actually shapes our kingdom values, you thought I had it backwards, didn't you? You said, no, Pastor Andy, our values shape our generosity. You know, what we really believe in, then we give to that. But not really. Until you give, Jesus says, your values aren't shaped. Your values are theoretical until you actually give to them. That's how your values are shaped, by your generosity. Just what Jesus says. He says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Because that stuff is going to go away sometime. You may live a long life, but it's inevitable someday you're going to die, and there's no U-Hauls at funeral homes. You can't take it with you. But Jesus says, send it on ahead. Send it on ahead. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells a story of a man who hoarded up all the material wealth of his life. He did what Jesus says, don't do here. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Luke chapter 12, he tells about a rich man who laid up big treasures on earth. Silos of grain, land, houses, wealth, bank accounts. And then God required his soul. And Jesus says, that man left with nothing. And the exhortation that Jesus draws from that story is this. This is how it will be, Jesus says, with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. Now, some of you think that it's unspiritual for Christians to want to be rich. It's not. I think Jesus encourages us to want to be rich. I want to be rich. Don't you? You just got to be rich in the right way, right? Jesus says he was not rich towards God. Jesus is saying, look, live your financial life with a generosity that will make you rich towards God, right? Don't store it up here where it will be taken away from you. Don't put your security in things which inevitably you will lose, but rather build up your treasure in heaven. Get rich towards God. He says the way to do that is to give. For where your treasure is, your heart will follow. Now again, some of you are looking at me like, you got that backwards. Where my heart is, that's where I give. Well, theoretically. This works in everything, not just spiritual things, not just the kingdom of God generosity. It works in it. So I have 5 kids, sent them all to 4 universities, 3 of whom you all know. Texas A&M. Yeah, I know about you. University of Oklahoma. Yeah, I know about you. And the University of Texas. See? Okay. So now I did not go to any of those universities. I didn't darken the door of any classrooms. I didn't have any particular regard for any of them until I sent large amounts of money to each one of those schools. And over the years, sending large amounts of money to A&M, I became a big Aggie fan. And sending large amounts of money to the University of Oklahoma, I became a big Sooners fan. And the same with the University of Texas. I am a big Longhorns fan. I've got the hats, the jerseys, the bling, because I believe that I've earned the right to wear the bling of any place to whom I have sent large amounts of money. Because my heart's there now too. I never went there, but I sent a lot of money there. And Jesus says, where your treasure is, what? There's your heart. So some of you, in your walk with Christ, your desire to seek his kingdom in your life, you would say to me, Pastor Andy, man, I wish I had more of a heart for the poor, how to help them, or for the oppressed, how to bring them justice, or for the lost, how to bring them the gospel. I wish I had a heart like God has for those things. What's Jesus saying the answer is? Send money. Because where your treasure goes, your heart is sure to follow, just like Mary's little lamb. You are building treasure in heaven when you are generous towards kingdom values. Does God value the poor? Does God value salvation for the lost? Does God value justice for the oppressed? People in this church, a few years ago, having been so blessed by God bringing us to this location and giving us a chance to build these buildings and train these people and send people all over the world, We got a real burden for the lost. And if you'll remember, if you were here in those days, you remember that we ran a campaign. It was called Journey On Campaign, the Journey On Campaign, which is what built all this stuff. And we paid it all off in March of 2015. $9 million in 2 years, debt-free. Paid all that commitment, all of that generosity, all of that giving. But you know why we did it? It's because God put on our hearts the world. When they were building, you remember, there's a beam that spans this whole auditorium. It's one big honking steel beam. And we had them set that beam out here in the parking lot for a whole month. You remember? How many of you signed the beam? We asked people, look, in this next month, go out there and write names on that beam. Friends and family members, people at work, at school, that you love and care about, who don't know Jesus. Write their names on that beam. And let that be ensconced as the very support of this whole worship center, as a symbol of our heart and sending our generosity towards bringing them the gospel. You did that. Right before they put the beam up here, I sent a staff member out to count the names on the beam. I didn't want to do it myself. You know how many names are on that beam? Just under 50,000. And I get reports to this day. And here's the inside language. Pastor Andy, another name from the beam. Another name from the beam. That, I would suggest to you, is treasure in heaven. For everybody who sacrificially gave, generously gave, so that we could reach people around the world. That's treasure. You know how in every service now, when it comes time for the offering, we always bring you a report about what God's doing with money that you've already given? We do that for a very specific purpose. And the purpose is to give you an account summary of your treasure in heaven. Some of you think, why do you do that? Are you boasting about this? No. We're actually giving God's people an opportunity to rejoice in the treasure that is being laid up by their generosity. Okay, how are we doing so far? First reason that Jesus says, I want your financial lives to be characterized by grateful generosity, is that he knows that generosity actually shapes our kingdom values. Next thing it does is it defines our kingdom priorities. Look what Jesus says, beginning in verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot. You cannot. That's what Jesus says. That's what I disputed with Jesus for a long time in my life. See, I thought I can walk and chew gum at the same time here. In fact, when I was young, just went off to college, I had this experience of, you know, being a pretty poor guy. I mean, I didn't have money growing up. When I went off to Wheaton College in Chicago in the spring semester of my freshman year, I had to get a job. I vacuumed the dining hall every night. I cut hair in my dorm room. I still give a pretty mean haircut. And I dug gardens for old ladies in the Wheaton, Glen Ellen area on weekends. It's like my whole life was a money chase. And I realized that, you know, I was a servant of Christ, and I was grateful for my salvation and for my inclusion in his kingdom and all that stuff. But I also needed to be about, like a laser beam, making money all the time. I knew about tithing. I knew that God in the Old Testament instructed his people, look, I want you to bring a tenth back into the storehouse. Just as a sign that you know that I own all of this and that you are a steward of all that I have given you, I just want you to make this offering to me to show that you still know that I'm Lord. In the New Testament, we don't have tithing necessarily, but we have generous and proportionate giving, which I personally don't believe can start with anything less than a tithe. It should be more. I knew that, but here's how I reasoned with God. Lord, I love you. I'm your servant, but I'm also poor. I need this money more than you do. Someday, I'll start to be generous. When I get an income, whenever I have a job, that's when I'll start giving. But right now, you know what? I'm just going to serve you and money too. Then a missionary came to chapel. Guy was from Africa. You do know that African missionaries are not wealthy people. And he stood before a couple thousand of us young college students at Wheaton one day in chapel, and he talked about giving and being generous towards God with our money, not to follow some sort of rule, not to somehow buy God off, not because God needs it, but to be generous in our giving to God as a spiritual discipline which defines our priorities in life. As a spiritual discipline that makes the priority in my life as a leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would be my master and not the money that I strive so mightily to make. I did not want to hear that. I left chapel that day and I did some soul searching. I was really bummed out because, like I said, I didn't have much, but I made a commitment that day. I said, I'm going to start tithing. And so the next Sunday, I wrote a check for $13. I said, I'm going to start tithing from the beginning of the year. Thank God it was January. I wrote a check for $13. In my bank account, I had $22. And it's been my pattern ever since. Because I realized that day that giving and generosity has so much to do with lordship and discipleship. That I could not live with a divided heart, even though I thought that I could. And that by giving a small portion back to God of what he had allowed me to make and to have, I was choosing him to be my master and not money. God has blessed that over the years. I've even learned now that whenever I start to struggle in my spiritual life, as I want to do, as I'm sure all of us are, whenever Christ's lordship in my life, my walk as a disciple is wavering, I've learned I need to give. I need to find my priorities again. Okay. Got it? Bob Dylan, by the way, says the same thing as Jesus here in Matthew 6. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. I had to preach it, Bob. I can't sing it the way he did. Let me make a statement about money. Money is the single most spiritual commodity in your material world. God has made it so. Why is that? It's not because of the worth of money itself. It's because of what money itself represents. Money represents the fruit of our lives, our work, our time, our effort, our sacrifice, our ups, our downs, our striving in and out. Money is a symbol of the fruit of our lives. So when we give money, what are we really giving to God? We're giving ourselves. Ourselves. That's why it's important that if we're pursuing and seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that we let generosity define our priorities. Well, there's one more. In the last part of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says that generosity also builds our kingdom security. It shapes our values. It defines our priorities. It shapes our security. I love this. This is the best part, okay? Y'all can relax now. The hard part's over, all right? Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear, is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they to him? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is amazing. What Jesus is saying here is that as you seek first his kingdom through generosity, you're going to be able to benefit by the peace of God that will keep your heart and mind, keep it away from worry and anxiety. That word there, worry, when Jesus says don't worry, it comes from an old German word named Virgen, which means to strangle or choke. How many of you have ever felt strangled or choked by worries about money in your lifetime? Can I just see your hand? All right, you're not supposed to lie in church. Jesus says the antidote to worrying about money is giving it away. You say, that's an outrageous statement. Is that prosperity theology? No. We don't give it away to get more. It's just telling us a cause and effect relationship that Jesus and the Father have set up in our lives. Is that we will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and we will let generosity be the primary characterization of our financial life. He, a good, good Father, will take care of us, just like he does the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. When we give and when we are generous, it kicks in this kind of a quid pro quo, dare I say it. Heard a lot about quid pro quo. In which our generosity towards the kingdom actually enlists God the Father in the cause of our financial health. Doesn't promise to make you rich, but Jesus says, don't Worry. Chris Arnaud has written a new book called Dignity, Seeking Respect in Back Row America. Chris Arnaud, for many years, was an analyst on Wall Street. And in this book that just released last month, he talks about the spiritual void and the strangle chokehold that the chase for money and the worries about money issues have on many Wall Street hotshots. He says this, on Wall Street, nobody was ever happy with their pay because they always knew that someone made a little bit more. And the people on the bottom felt not only frustrated, but humiliated. It's clear that something was very, very wrong on Wall Street. Lifespans were going down. Suicide, a stunning act, was going up. It's not about lacking iPhones or lacking cars. There's a spiritual lacking there. And I say this as someone who is a self-described atheist. Even an atheist recognizes the spiritual connection between worry and a focus on money. And what Jesus is saying to us is, here's the quid pro quo. You can be like the birds of the air and the lilies of the field as you trust your heavenly Father in your generosity towards his kingdom. He'll take care of you. He will. He'll take care of you. Over the years of my life, I've come to see worry about financial issues. And believe me, they crop up all the time. I mean, right? We live in a world, right? I've come to see worry and anxiety when it starts to get its chokehold on my throat as a signal that it's time for me to give. To kick that wonderful quid pro quo in with God. See, because whenever I'm generous, I am then able to throw it to him and say, okay, Lord, you take care of the birds, you take care of the flowers, you can take care of me. It's a beautiful thing to be worry-free. So my friends, if you're worried today, God does not need to know about your needs. He already does. What he needs to know is your commitment. Why would the Lord take care to make your financial situation healthy if you're determined to live your financial life apart from him? On the other hand, why would he not love you and care for you and provide for you like the birds of the air and the lilies of the field if he knows in your heart your commitment is to pursue kingdom values and kingdom priorities and to fulfill your purpose in life as a child of the King. So, somebody out there ever puts a microphone in your face and says, what's up with you Christians? What's all this stuff about generosity? Why do you guys lead everybody in charitable donations and in giving and in taking care of people and all this stuff? Way more than way richer people on average than you. You lead the whole thing. Why on earth? What will your answer be? Here's what your answer is. As the Lord has provided for me, as his follower, his generosity to me shapes my values. And his generosity to me defines my priorities. And his generosity to me builds my security. So that I want to send my treasure, and I want to make Jesus my Lord, and I'm at peace, the peace that passes understanding in the whole rest of my life because of what he has done for me. One of my heroes in the faith, as many of you know, Jim Elliot, a martyred missionary in the year of my birth, 1955. Speared to death on the banks of a river with four of his other missionary friends by the very people that they had given their lives to reach with the gospel. They found Jim's journal by his body when they recovered it. And this is just amazing. In the first service this morning, one of the soldiers that recovered Jim Elliott's body that day was in our first service this morning. They found these words written in Jim's journal. "Lord, make my way prosperous, not that I achieve high station, but that my life may be an exhibit to the value of knowing God. Lord, bless our generosity to you. And bless us and take care of us as your people. Not that we get rich, not that we attain high station, but that the watching world will see our question-posing lives and ask, why are you so generous? And they will see benefit of knowing him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you that you are the greatest giver of all time and eternity, and that you call us to be like you, and that the way that we can be most like you is by being generous givers. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us to this great endeavor of seeking your kingdom and your righteousness and seeking it first in our lives. And thank you, Lord, for giving us the tool of generosity, Lord, to shape our values and to define our priorities and to build our security as we seek your kingdom first and your righteousness. I pray, Lord, that you would bless every person in this room as they make you Lord, Father, as they sent their treasures to heaven, and as they live their lives worry-free and full of joy because you have provided for them. We pray this in Jesus' name.